delight to be with you here today. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to serve as your minister. As I look around, I see some faces that look familiar. I must admit, though, not all. Some of you are folks that I met when I was here for the very brief week-long interview I had back in May. That's the longest interview I've ever had. Each time I'm part of a worship service, I find it reassuring when I can look out and see at least some people that I'm familiar with, some faces that I can recognize and that I felt like I've spent some time sharing with. What's especially reassuring today is that I'm able to recall at least a few names that go with some of those faces. I don't know about you, but for me, typically it takes a while before I'm able to remember a name of someone I've only recently met and I'm just getting to know. I find the difficulty with remembering names, well, it becomes significantly more challenging as the number of new faces and names increases. And there are a few here. In the days ahead, then, I look forward to getting to know each of you, including your names. As I stand before you, I recognize that my memory banks will be working overtime in the coming days as I connect all of the new faces with names, with the proper name. I would invite you to assist me in my learning process by reminding me of your name for a while, and in time, I won't need the reminders. I hope. Now, that tells you a little bit about my memory for names. Here is a bit more that you may want to know about me. Some of you may know that I was born and raised in the center of the Lower Peninsula of Michigan. For those of you who don't know Michigan all that well, let me pull out my Michigan map. My home is located here. The past year, I was in Portage, which borders Kalamazoo. Some of you may be familiar with the name Kalamazoo. There's a very old song that made that name quite popular, famous. Now, Kalamazoo and Portage, they are here. In Portage, I served the Unitarian Universalist Community Church of Southwest Michigan. That congregation was small in number, but as the length and scope of their name implies, they think big. While I was born and raised in Michigan, I consider Montana home. Prior to making the decision to become a UU minister, my wife Sandy and I lived in the Flathead Valley of Northwest Montana for 24 years. Now, I don't have a convenient Montana map, so hopefully you know where that is. Our first visit to Montana was in 1982. We traveled from Illinois to this part of the state and spent a week backpacking in the Beartooth Absaroka Wilderness. The experience was so moving for both of us that the following year, we moved to Montana. Ever since that first visit, both of us have felt that Montana is home. In 2007, however, we moved from the Flathead Valley to the Boston area so I could attend theological school. When we left, the possibility of being able to move back to Montana seemed quite unlikely. There are only five Michigan Map Hand Unitarian Universalist congregations in the entire state. In 2007, two of those congregations had a minister. The Glacier UU Fellowship and this congregation. Since then, the Glacier Fellowship made the decision to return to being lay-led. Today, this fellowship is the only UU congregation in the state that has a parish minister. The one and only possibility for me to return to Montana as a UU minister was here with you. Thank you for making that very slim possibility a reality. While contemplating the content of my first sermon as your minister, I found myself thinking about new beginnings. One of those new beginnings, of course, is my presence here with you today. But I also thought about the new beginnings this fellowship has experienced. And looking through the fellowship's history, I found it interesting that its beginnings date back to 1955, just 3 years after my own birth. In my mind, that makes this fellowship and me close enough in age to have been playmates. 4 years later, in 1959, the congregation took steps to affiliate with the American Unitarian Universalist Unitarian Association. I still do the Unitarian Universalist. At that point, the two were not combined yet. Since then, you've had numerous ministers who have served in one capacity or another. Of those various ministers, the congregation voted to call only two as settled ministers, Reverend Lois Van Leer and Reverend Dr. Nina Gray. Each of them had their own unique beginning with this fellowship, and during their time with you, each created her own path. Like each of them, I will need to discover just where my path lies here with you as well. Sometimes I'll follow their footsteps. Sometimes I will embark along a new route, one that none of us know yet where it is or where it will go. As I discern where my path lies, all of us will be seeking together to determine how we will further the purpose, the mission of this religious community. So, while this congregation now has a new minister, the mission that guides me and us remains unchanged. It is the same one that guided you and your previous minister, Reverend Dr. Nina Gray. And what, you may ask, do I perceive that mission to be? The first place I turn to answer that question is to your mission statement. I really like that your mission statement isn't stuck away somewhere in a three-ring binder or in a file drawer that isn't marked. Every week, you put it on the front cover of your order of service for everyone to see and read, right here at the bottom. With it in such a prominent place, my guess is that some of you may know it word for word. You may have it memorized. Then there might be others of you, though, that you know it only generally. So, in order that we all know what it says, I'll read it aloud. The Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Bozeman is a liberal religious community of diverse beliefs, bound together by shared values. Our active practice is to, again, my Michigan one hand, gather as a welcoming, accepting, and open community. Foster freedom of belief and responsible inquiry. Inspire spiritual growth and lifelong learning. Serve others by social action for social and environmental justice. That mission statement speaks to what this religious community perceives its work to be, as well as what bonds it together. As the reading by Mark Morrison Reed asserts, there is a central task of the religious community. As he sees it, part of that task is to unveil the bonds that bind each to all. The UUFB mission statement indicates that you are bound together by shared values. Morrison Reed asserts that it is through relating to one another that we discover the particulars of our lives and how we are all connected. He goes on to claim that once this connectedness is felt, it inspires us to act for justice. While his words and phrases are somewhat different than those in the mission statement printed on your order of service, the similarity and overlap between the concepts that each speaks to are very evident. Concepts of community, commitment, and a focus on the greater good than what we might or would want just for ourselves. I'm also aware that as a member congregation of the Unitarian Universalist Association, this congregation has established common cause with a larger organization, the UUA, as well as all of the sister UU congregations across our country. In becoming a member congregation, you agree to recognize and act in accordance with the bylaws of the UUA. My guess is very few of you have ever read those bylaws. I had to as part of my ministerial training. They're long. So while you may not have read them, there is one section that my guess is many of you are familiar with. The section I'm referring to is Article 2, Principles and Purposes. Article 2, as the title indicates, contains the seven principles that all Unitarian Universalist congregations agree to covenant to affirm and promote. But there is more there as well. Along with the seven principles, the first section of Article 2 identifies the six sources of which our living tradition draws from. While not presented as such, the principles, together with the six sources, can be viewed as a type of mission statement. Both speak to the values and ideals that every congregation that joins the Association of Congregations, commonly referred to as the UUA, agrees to commit themselves to. The six sources speak to where we look for guidance and wisdom as we seek to live out those values and ideals. When I read the mission statement of this congregation, I notice numerous words and phrases that correspond closely with words, phrases, and/or concepts contained in the seven principles and the six sources. For example, the principles, the sources, and the mission statement each lift up the importance of spiritual growth. Each also speaks in their own way to the importance of accepting and respecting others, including those who have different perspectives than our own. And especially significant, each includes a statement that focuses our attention toward making a positive difference in the world we live in. I would assert that this focus on making our world a better place is something that sets Unitarian Universalism apart from many other religious denominations in this country. As Unitarian Universalists, our primary focus is on this world and on this life, not on what does or doesn't happen after we die. We attend to the here and to the now. The last line of this fellowship's mission statement speaks to this focus. Serve others by social action for social and environmental justice. Over the course of the past 5 years, while Reverend Dr. Gray was your minister, you, as individuals and as a congregation, have sought to live into as well as to live out your mission statement. Through building a relationship between one another as well as with Reverend Dr. Gray, you have created a web of connectedness. A connectedness that has moved and continues to move this congregation to action. Action, which is based on the mission statement you've adopted. Action that is grounded in the seven principles of the Unitarian Universalist Association. Now that Reverend Dr. Gray has moved away, I would imagine that each of you have feelings about her absence. I expect that many, if not all of you, wonder about getting to know the new minister. I recognize that last statement may be a projection on my part, since I wonder how it will be to get to know each of you. Because I'm what some would call a people person, I look forward to what lies ahead as I meet and get to know you, each and every one of you. As we engage in building relationship together, I believe we will discover, as Mark Morrison Reed states, amid the particularities of our own lives and the lives of others, that which connects us, that which unites us, and that which moves us. I'm also confident that in the process of building relationship, we will be working on the mission which remains unchanged. Our work then, as the mission statement put so well, is to gather as a welcoming, accepting, and open community, foster freedom of belief and responsible inquiry, inspire spiritual growth and lifelong learning, and serve others by social action for social and environmental justice. As I read this, I once again feel reassured. Just as when I look out and see familiar faces in the congregation. I feel reassured because offering caring and nurturing service to make a positive difference in the larger community is something I have been committed to for most of my life. When I read the UUFB mission statement, it is clear that we hold many beliefs, values, and aspirations in common. With that awareness, I feel more than simply reassured. I feel excited and inspired. I am very grateful for the opportunity to serve this religious community. Today, I make a commitment to you to give my best as I seek to further the mission you have established and that you have been living for many years. Our journey together to actualize that mission is just beginning. As we travel and work together in the days, weeks, months, and years ahead, may we be guided by the mission we hold in common, a mission that remains constant even with the arrival of a new minister. So may it be.